Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I say it every episode and I mean it. Every single episode, I am so grateful that you give your time and your ear to the podcast, to listen to the show. I really do believe, and I know for sure that I have the best audience ever on any platform. I just know that you all are amazing. I so appreciate your emails that you send to successfuldiligence.com/contact, the voicemail messages that you send by clicking the link below. And I just so enjoy getting to know you and bringing you value-added content, really quality humans to have incredible conversations with. And today is no different. I've got an amazing person who I am so excited to introduce you to. Her name is Jessica Klasnick. And for the past 5 years, Jessica has led her family of five on a journey of discovery, recalculating what happiness means to them, breaking away from the societal norms of how life should be, and intentionally living life each day on purpose. But this massive change isn't something just reserved for her family. It is available to anyone. Yes, that includes you. With a willingness and a readiness to change, you too can recalculate what happiness means to you. Now, as a certified life coach with the Life Coach School and graduate of the Rama Institute for Applied Yogic Science and Technology, that was a mouthful, y'all. Jessica works with a library of tools to create change both on the conscious level with her coaching, as well as the subconscious level with meditation, which also works with your biometric system as well. Now, these techniques focus on mastering the mind to create lasting effects. And one thing that I really appreciate about Jessica is that she doesn't teach you how to recreate her best life. She teaches you how to discover your own. And the best teachers in life really don't tell you how to recreate themselves. They help you discover what is already inside of you, just waiting to be tapped into and discover. And so, Jessica, I'm so excited to have this conversation, to introduce you to my audience, to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thanks, Michelle. I am so excited to be here. What a great introduction.
Well, it's all true. It's all amazing because yeah, that's exactly who you are. And I just cannot wait to get into all the things. So for my audience who is not as familiar with you, maybe this is the first time they're meeting you. Tell us a little bit about who you are beyond the bio and how you came to where you are in life today.
Yeah. So good question. So it said, you know, 5 years ago, we started this journey of recalculating happiness. And basically, I've been married to my husband, Matt, for 17 years. And at that point in our life, 5 years ago, it was about 2016, 2017, we had checkmarked all the boxes of our life, like our bucket list, all the things we had wanted to do. We had a house, like a sprawling suburban house. We had three kids. He had a job working in finance on Wall Street. We were doing after school activities. We were living, you know, what everyone would dream of as being this like American life. And we sat there and we were thinking, okay, we're grateful for everything we have, but why are we not feeling fulfilled? And we really started questioning why we wanted the things we wanted and why we were doing the things we were doing. And that's when this recalculation started. And it really was just us deciding and reprioritizing what was important to us. So for example, we really prioritize family. We have three active boys, and my husband worked a job where he traveled Monday through Friday. So that wasn't our priorities lining up with how we were living. So we, you know, thought about it and we brainstormed and we decided that I was going to homeschool the boys and we were going to start traveling with my husband. So he would go to all these incredible cities and do these sales meetings. So we would, you know, pack up our suitcases on Monday morning and the boys would, and I would start going with him. And that was really the beginning of the journey. It led to us eventually taking a year off and taking a trip around the world with our kids. We ended up selling everything we own and moving up to the mountains. We lived in an RV for a month and traveled throughout the United States. So really just step by step, we reprioritized what we were wanting more of in life and we really went after it. So it's been quite an adventure.
You know, there's so much to unpack in this, and I'm just so excited to get into it because, yes, that seems like the American adventure. I wanted to backpedal a little bit. So, you know, you describe the picturesque, you didn't mention the white picket fence, but that's in the image we have, right? We've made it, we've reached success. Like you mentioned, you checked all the boxes.
Yeah.
And yet you were still able to be aware of, that's not it. This is not the life that I was created for. It's not enough. Or there was a feeling of discontent or a feeling of something missing or something, right? And you paid attention to that. So there was an aspect of self-awareness. Yeah. Then there was an aspect of asking new questions. And then you had to really implement courage to take action. Talk to me about the journey of courage to do something different, because I'm thinking maybe not everybody quite understood your decision.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think it starts with really thinking, first you have to decide what you want, right? We were just going along with what society told us we should want. We should want the bigger house. We should want the next level in corporate America. But when we started thinking about, well, what is it that we really want? And it was time together. And so when there was that rub or that friction there, we really couldn't do both of those. And so we started thinking of all of the ways we could get more time together, right? We said, maybe my husband would quit his job. I would start working and we would both get jobs where neither of us were traveling. For a while, we thought maybe we would rent an RV and we could travel to these cities that he was doing meetings in and we would go in an RV. So we were willing to think outside the box and brainstorm, okay, it's more time that we want. How can we get it? Never did I think that would include us traveling with him and me homeschooling the boys. So I think to start that process, you really have to be open to how it could look and how that could really come into realization in your life, because it probably is going to look different than you're even imagining it right now.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, my husband and I have talked about living in an RV and, you know, rather than buying a house. And as we research and learn about it, and even, you know, you mentioning beginning to homeschool your sons, those are new skills that you have to learn. That's new knowledge you have to acquire and practice and fail and practice and fail and then master. Talk to me about that, because that can be a very uncomfortable process when you go from comfortability, right, to embracing now challenge. And how did you deal with that?
Well, I have to admit, it wasn't completely comfortable before, because we always had this little like nudge in our heart of it not being quite right. So there was always that little like annoyance of like, we should be really excited and happy right now, but we're not. So that was always like nagging at us. But I think the way we looked at it is it wasn't really failing. We were just trying things to figure out what would work. And so when we tried something and it didn't work, it wasn't like, oh, this wasn't meant to happen. It was more like, oh, this isn't how it was meant to happen.
Which is a great reframe and a mindset skill that you probably had or developed over the years. So listeners, that way of, it's very subtle, right? Because if you listen to what she said, and language is also important. She said it wasn't a failure. It was just like, okay, well, this way doesn't work. Let's find something new. And to reframe the experience and the meaning of it is very powerful. So I didn't want to let that go by.
You're exactly right. Because we had to do that quite frequently when we were making all these changes is, you know, everyone says, you guys make it look so easy. I'm like, it's not easy. Just when things don't work out, that's just how it was going to happen. And we do something else. So it really is those subtle nuances and subtle differences in how we're thinking that make this like sustainable and make going after things like this really feasible.
Yeah. So I'm dying. Before we get into the next question, I'm dying to know, living in an RV, is it really as sexy and fun as they make it sound?
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious. So it's me, my husband, and we have three boys. And at the time, they were 9, 11, and 13. So it's not like they were little toddlers. Well, my husband and I had this grand idea that the RV we were going to travel in was going to be a Sprinter van. Are you familiar with Sprinter vans?
No, but it doesn't sound like the bus that I imagine.
Yeah, it's like the smallest RV. If you can just picture, it's like one of those 11 passenger vans that you could like fit into a Target parking spot, which was why we wanted it, because when we could go to like the Grand Canyon, we could park anywhere and we could pop into restaurants. It was like no RV parking. The problem with that is it was five big people living in a mini RV. So it was funny. I would post stuff on my social media and people are like, what is happening? We would have, you know, the microwave was packed with our toiletries and it was very comical. Needless to say, we enjoyed it for the month, but after that we decided we weren't living in the RV any longer.
That is so funny. But yeah. You know what? It's an adventure that you took as a family and you had the time that you were looking for. And what I love also about your story is it's so value-based. You know, listeners, we've talked about in past episodes and we'll continue to talk about value-based living because, like you said, even when you had that, you know, societal norm of success, your values were speaking from deep within saying, but there's just something, right? And you had to pursue that. And I just love that about your story, that you didn't ignore it. You paid attention to it to recalculate, right? And to create the life that you want to be living and that your family is benefiting from. So I just love that. How did you start your business?
Oh, so this is pretty fun. You know, we're doing all of these incredible things. Trip around the world with our kids. We thought we were just going to move back into our house in the suburbs and my husband was going to get another job in finance. But when we got back, we had changed so much and what we wanted and valued had changed so much that nothing could have ever been the same. And so, you know, we sold everything we owned. We moved to a two-bedroom condo in the mountains. We completely slowed our life down. And throughout that process, I heard so many people DMing me or texting me or friends saying, oh, Jess, you're so lucky. I always wanted to do that. Or I've always dreamed of doing what you guys are doing. You're so lucky. And people kept calling me lucky. And we're not lucky. We didn't have some trust fund that we used to do it. We used our savings. We saved pennies for years and years and years. And so my business as a women's life coach really came from that, showing women you can create exactly what you want in your life. There isn't any luck involved. This is available to you as well. You just need to have the correct tools. And a lot of that is mindset work and meditation work to change our conscious and our subconscious thoughts. So as I work with women now, they're like amazed that what they once thought was impossible is like at their fingertips now. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really implementing our superpower of choice, right? Let me ask you this, because I know a lot of listeners and even myself for a while, I've tuned in a little bit more now. But when we think about, and you mentioned this earlier in the conversation, figuring out what you really want, right? Because it can be those broad ideas and then you try to funnel it down. And you got very specific about knowing that it was time that you wanted, right? But how did you get there from like the big concept? Like, how did you figure out what do I really want from my life?
That's a really good question. I think it started with just listening to the little nudges I was having of when things didn't feel right. Like when I thought it should feel right, like living this big, beautiful house that I thought we'd live in forever. And it just, it wasn't quite right. It was like a very small noticing. And the reason I think most of us just ignore that or numb out to it is we think that if we listen to it, that we have to like flip our lives upside down and like sell everything we own like we did. And that's not the truth. Like if we just start listening to those little nudges, the fact of the matter is most of us can create the lives that we want right now. The changes are just 1-2% tweaks to really getting the things that we want to go after. And most of the time we don't want to listen to those because we're scared if we do, what if we can't get it? Like, what if that's our heart's desire and it's not obtainable for us? That's very scary. So we just numb it out, we turn it off, and we just be great. You know, everybody says you should be grateful. So we just be grateful for everything we have, even though we know that's not exactly what we want.
Yeah. For me, true gratitude doesn't really work unless you're functioning in truth, right? And I love that you said you got to tell the truth. You know, you have to really function in truth in order to get what you really want. And I think there's a dual coin. You mentioned fear, right? And that is a huge, huge concept that people, I would offer every single human being has had to work through at some point in their life. I don't think anyone escapes fear. What you do with it is what's key, right? And how you choose to respond to that is key. And being intentional as well. Talk to me about those two concepts, moving through fear and being intentional.
So I think the fear component is most of us are not willing to live in fear, but settle with like a life of inadequacy, right? So because we're not happy with where we are, but we know what that feels like, that's okay. We'd rather just leave things well enough alone than maybe change something that might bring about some feelings of fear. So I think that's kind of the duality that we see there. We settle for one or the other when if we just went through the fear and we worked through the fear, we could end up where we wanted to be. And that just comes with the intentionality of deciding, well, what does that look like? What is that end spot that we're really looking to achieve? How are we going to feel? What will our life look like then? And then creating that.
Almost like reverse engineering it almost. Like this is the end point where I want to be. Yes. And then let me work backwards to find out how to get there.
Yeah, that's a lot what I do in my practice with my clients is we decide, well, what is it exactly we want to create? And we look to the future and then we work backwards to decide, well, what do we need to start thinking to create that kind of the future? Mm. How would we start feeling if we created that kind of a life? What are the things we would be doing day in and day out? And those are some of like the basic principles we work with to actually create that down the road.
So fascinating. Cause you know, so many people that I talk to, it boils down to value-based living, telling the truth, and really having an understanding about vision. And what is vision to you?
I think there's definitely different aspects of vision, but I think overall it's having a desire for the type of life that you want to live. It's really thinking about that in a very proactive way. So many of us have a vision based on the reactivity of what we think we can get, right? So we'll only vision big enough of what we definitely think or know that we can have. Where I think vision is, take down all the barriers, all the walls, all the blocks, and think about everything you want, and then create your life and your vision based on that.
Yeah, I love that because it's, for me, it's almost going back to what we knew as a child when I knew I could be an astronaut, even though I'm horrible at math and science. So that's not something I pursued, right? But going back to that almost childlike worldview of knowing that you can do anything before someone told you you can't. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, accepting that it may not be what other people told you, but it can be whatever you choose for it to be that will resonate with that happiness within. And I love the name of your business, Recalculating Happiness. Where did that come from?
My son made it up. He said, Mom, I think we should call it Recalculating Happiness. I said, that's perfect.
I love that. And I love that your son was involved in that. Has your family supported your beginning of the business?
Oh, they're so involved. All of the things that I do in my practice, I work with my kids, with my husband. I mean, it doesn't have any barriers, right? My kids use it for situations that arise at their homeschool program. And my husband and I use it with situations that arise in our relationship. It's just so practical. My kids and I talk about how I should go in and teach a class like this to all the kids at their school, because it would be so helpful for kids to know this growing up.
I love that. Your son is so wise, because there's so much we don't teach our kids nowadays. And they're like practical life skill stuff, yeah, you know, that will actually benefit them to create lives that they want to be living. And, you know, that's a whole nother podcast that we could get into.
Always.
But I do want to ask you, because I know that as you are working with your family, right, to create this new life that you all wanted, were you always on the same page with your husband? Was there any conflict that arose? Did your kids ever say, Mom, why can't we just go back to living in a house like my friends, you know, like we used to? Or, you know, kind of talk to me about some of that.
Yeah, this is a really good point, because, right, we're traveling around the world and everyone's like, oh, that must be so nice and it's so great. And yes, it was. Traveling around the world was amazing, but in a different way than, you know, being at your house in the suburbs. You still have good things that happen and bad things that happen. Life is still a mix, right? My husband, we were, the very beginning of our trip, we were hiking in Italy and he got a severe back injury and was bedridden for a good third of our trip. So things still happen. You know, we had a volcano that was supposed to erupt for our trip when we were in Bali, and we had a dengue fever outbreak in Sri Lanka, and the embassy had to contact us and rearrange our trip. So things still happen where that you have to work through no matter what. So just because we're making all these changes and doing all these things and following our heart doesn't mean it's not hard. It's definitely hard. It always will be hard. The grass isn't greener. It's just a different shade.
Yeah. And you're using the same skills that I'm using while I'm living in my house. Yeah. You know, we're sort of in the suburbs, but it's the same skills. It's transferable. It's not like, oh, just because you relocate, you get to escape, you know, some of the human life experience that comes and those skills that we still need to learn universally, because I'm a big believer that resilience is something that we learn as we live. And there are certain lessons in life that, you know, we all have to sort of conquer and learn. And those are individualistic based on our specific reason for being born. I'm a big believer in there's a purpose and a reason for everyone being born. Whole nother podcast as well. Yeah. But you know, talking with you and really, because it is diving deep into those big exploratory concepts. What do you want in life? That's a basic question, but it's a big question that is really a lot more nuanced than people allow themselves to time to think about and unpack.
Yeah, but you know what, Michelle? I think for most people, if you were to ask them and they had to give you an answer in 2 seconds, they would answer like to their truest heart content, right? If you don't let them answer and think about it too much, where they start saying, well, I should want this, and this is the right answer. If you just really speak from your heart and listen from that place where there's no right or wrong answer, most people would know.
Yeah, I agree. And that word should is an indicator, because if you're using the word should, it's probably not true for you. It's probably an idea coming from outside of you versus inside of you. That's so profound. Oh,
yeah.
Jessica, tell me like one or two guiding principles that you implement in your life.
I think this is a really good question because this is probably different than I think you've heard it from other guests, but the number one thing that I really try to implement is I try to let the people around me and the people in my life be themselves. I think so often when we're in relationship with other people, and that could be as a parent or as a friend, I'm a daughter, I have like a mom and a dad, or as a wife, we try to very subtly control people in certain ways or set expectations of them that they need to act a certain way in order to make us happy. And I think the biggest thing and the most freeing thing we can do is just let them be themselves. Let my husband be who he is. Let my kids be who they are without me setting any expectation or regard of what that should look like. So I think that's really important to me.
Before we go on to the second one, I know I asked you for two. That right there, Jessica, that is a beautiful gift that you give the people in your life, because it's not many people that can take their expectations and put them to the side for people. I think it's just a tendency I've noticed that a lot of people have to want to shape and mold people to what you would prefer them to be, or you see potential and you're like, oh, they should be this. There goes that word should again.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that word expectation, right? I love that you give the gift of allowing people to be who they are. That is such a profound gift, and it's just beautiful. So I just wanted to honor that and take a moment to really highlight that, because if we all did that, can you imagine what world we would live in? Like globally, that would be incredible.
Yeah. You know, Michelle, and the only reason that I'm allowed to do that and that I have the sovereignty to do that is because I knew who I am. Mm. Most of the time when we're trying to subtly control them or get them to do things, it's so that we'll feel better about ourselves, right? So if our kids get really good grades in school, then we feel like we're a really good parent. Or if our husband brings us flowers on our birthday, then we know he loves us. I know I'm a really good parent and I'm an incredible wife without any of them having to do that for me. In fact, nobody in my family told me Happy Mother's Day until after lunch on Mother's Day a couple of weeks ago. And I had the best day. I know how supported and loved I am. And because they didn't have to get me flowers or write out a card to make me feel happy, later that evening, my husband and my three kids had the whole house cleaned. They know I like a clean house on a Monday morning. They cleaned the whole house. They cooked me dinner. My one son asked if he could take me out on a coffee date the following week. And my other two gave me the biggest, sweetest hugs. And I let them just love me like they wanted to, instead of how they thought they should love me so I would be happy. So really, when we do that work on ourselves, where we can allow other people to do that too.
That is so powerful, because you really do give permission for people to be themselves when you show up in truth as who you really are. But it's a journey to get there. I got to tell you, Jessica, and me coming from, I was trained from childhood to be a people pleaser. And it took years to unravel that, to really get to know, well, who is the real Michelle? Well, she's stand up. And when you're able to do exactly what you exemplify, it's such a gift to other people. It's so powerful. I really honor you for that. It almost like takes my breath away, because it's so rare, but such a profoundly beautiful thing that really is powerful for other people. I mean, for ourselves, yes, but it's such a gift of empowerment to other people too. So I love that. I love that. Okay. So your second guiding principle.
I think this might be another one that nobody's heard of before. I think the more time, money, and energy we spend investing in ourselves, the better humans we can show up as, right? As women, we tend to sacrifice ourselves a lot. Oh, I won't do what I need to do because I'll help you and I'll do this for you and I'll take care of it for you. But the more I spend working on the issues I have, the more time I spend going to yoga retreats or in meditation or learning different tools I can work with on my mind or just having fun on a girls' trip, the better I can show up as a mom, as a wife, as a friend, and a daughter in my life. So instead of, this is one of those kind of subtle changes of verbiage again, instead of me looking as that being selfish, I look at that as the most selfless thing I can do because it's truly making it so I can serve others in a better way.
Yeah, it's making sure you have a cup and that your cup is full so that you can pour out and serve others. There's a Jim Rohn quote that says, he was in, it was a speech and he said, "I no longer say, if you take care of me, I'll take care of you. What I say is I will take care of me and you take care of you. And that way we can share life together abundantly." And I just, that's what I resonated for me in what you just said. And I absolutely, absolutely love that. Oh, Jessica. Oh my goodness. I feel like I could talk to you for hours because there's so much wisdom. Listeners, I know you're getting value. Rewind, listen to this again, take a journal and write some notes. This is some powerful, life transforming, conceptual information, knowledge, and just learning from someone who lives it and has lived it. And I'm so, so grateful. So if people are resonating with you and they're like, I need more of her, this is really just the tip of the iceberg. You know, that yeah. picture where there's the iceberg and yeah. you see a little tippy top and then underneath is this huge mountain. I know this is just the tippy top. So if people are like, I need more, where can I find Jessica? I've got to understand this recalculating happiness thing. I want what she has. Where can people find you? How can they connect with you?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's Jessica Klasnick. That's KLASNICK.com. And that links to our family story at Recalculating Happiness. And really, I think, you know, the best way to work with me is one-on-one. I have a program called Expanded Living, mm-hmm. where I work with women one-on-one for 6 months to basically expand their life in all areas, relationships, parenting, self-value, self-worth, to really focus on that future and what they're looking to create. So something to keep in mind as you're wandering through the website.
I love that. And I'll put all the links in the show notes as well, listeners. As you know, I always hook you up, click and go. So Jessica, my last question for you for this episode, gratitude. Yeah. What is it to you and have you implemented it in your life? If so, how?
So gratitude is simply the things that we carry in our heart that we appreciate every day, all the time, right? And I just have a very simple practice where every morning I write the three things down that I'm grateful for. And it's just to keep it top of mind. My kids have done that for a long while verbally, ever since they were young. Just tell us something that they're grateful for. I think when we have gratitude for things, we allow for more things to come into our life. When we appreciate what we have, we can allow for more things to enter in and we can appreciate those as well.
I love that. I just love that. Ah, this has been such a refreshing conversation for me. I'm just so grateful that you had the time to come on. Is there any last words that you want to leave our audience with?
Yes, always, Michelle. You will let me talk. I will talk forever if you let me. So here's the thing I want to say is if you're looking to create a change in your life and you're wanting to do something different, just know it's going to feel uncomfortable. I think so oftentimes people say, well, if this were the right change, it would feel really good and I'd be excited to do it. And I'm like, no, that's your worst idea ever. If you're wanting to do something different, the reason you haven't done it yet is because you're not willing to live with that uncomfortable feeling of something being new and unfamiliar. So just know, I use that as a guiding principle. If I feel like it's a little uncomfortable, I turn my headlight there and I go straight forward to get that because I know that's the right direction to go.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That was guiding principle number three, y'all, if you caught it. Exactly. I love it. Jessica, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for showing up in the world as you do, for being the gift of a person that you are. And I love what you do. Listeners, click and go, check her out, rewind this episode because it's so good. I know this is one that I will listen to again. Thank you so, so much for coming on, Jessica.
Yeah, thanks for all that you do, Michelle.
And listeners, as I always say, keep walking, always, always keep walking, never stop walking, because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny, you will reach your destination. And on the journey, as always, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude. As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. How do you know, man?